From the good life in Lincoln, Nebraska, this is the Stop Chasing, Start Living show, where together we dig into the world of faith and finances to discover how God wants so much more for us than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm your host, Scott Ernstmeyer, so let's start living. Well, welcome back to another episode of Stop Chasing and Start Living. My name is Scott Ernstmeyer. I have the joy and privilege of serving as your host on this show. My role at Messiah Lutheran is to serve as the Director of Ministry Development. It's a passion of mine to really dig into the heart of a person and seeing where God can work in and through their heart and you know what that might mean for their generosity. But something that's also been always super exciting for me is the process of discipleship. I've had an opportunity in my own walk to be pretty involved in men's discipleship and certainly education with my background. So I love seeing people grow in their faith, their walk with Jesus, and just seeing how that navigates through their journey in life. And so just a real quick reset, since this is only our second episode, wanted to make sure you understand, while this is a show that we'll be talking about money and generosity, really, it's way more about talking about life and faith and the challenges that we face as Christians in today's world and what God wants to teach us in and through those things that we experience. And, you know, while some of what we are going to talk about is very focused on stewardship and finances, and when we dig into those topics, I really want to make sure we're seeing what God says about it. We're digging into the Word. We're seeing what the Bible says about those things, and then translating that into what does that mean for life and the opportunity God provides us to be challenged and to grow in our walk with Him. And when we do grow and we do take those next steps in our faith journey, He opens other doors for things like how we are generous with our time and our talents and the things of this world that He's blessed us with. And so, you know, I'm hoping, my prayer for this show is that it's an encouragement to the listeners and really helping them take their next step, whatever's going on in their life, next step in their journey and walk with Jesus. So today I'm really blessed to have join me Pastor Dustin Lappe from Messiah Lutheran here in Lincoln. The area that he gets to focus in quite often and really is a passion for him is this world of discipleship and what that means for life groups and doing life together with the community around us and really the whole world of education. And you know, started out your career as an educator to the wee little ones of kindergarten. But I'm just going to introduce Dustin and ask him to share a little bit more about his background. Thanks for being with us today, yeah. Dustin.
Thanks for having me. So I would start, you know, by sharing, and for those who know me, they already know this about me. Others listening in, maybe they don't. So, but I am a husband, married to Trudy. We've been blessed with four children, three girls and a boy. So I'm a husband, I'm a father. And that is part of my calling. But as you mentioned, I have been just passionate about discipleship and education and really wanting people to just fall in love with God and His Word. And the whole story of God's Word, Old and New Testament, right. And to see how, yeah, we have these individual stories of people and places and throughout history, but it's one overarching story that God is writing. And because of Jesus, He wants this to be our story and how we get to live it out. And so that's one of my passions, of helping people know the story of God, to see our lives a part of that story, and then how do we live it out? Not in the sense of like, oh, I have to do this, but I get to do this. I get to live this way.
Amen. So just those opportunities He places in front of us is in those next steps. What a blessing. And so when you know, today we're gonna talk about the heart of God. We're gonna dig into this whole concept of God as this ultimate example of giving, and what it means to really better understand the heart of God. And so as you think about God as that best example of giving, especially if somebody's like really new to the concept, whether they're a new Christian or whatever that looks like, you know, how do we even try to wrap our head around God's love for us?
So we're in the life of the church year now. We're entering into the season of Lent. Mm-hmm. This week we just had Ash Wednesday. And here at Messiah, we're introducing this theme that we're calling So That. And there are a number of scriptures throughout the Bible, Old and New Testaments, that have those two words that we don't think a lot about, just kind of there, so that. But one of the greatest passages, I would say, of all time, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. That passage really just grasps the love of God. And I've thought of it this way. Okay, because God loved, he gave. Mm. So love is the motivator. Mm. And it's not just this general love, but it's a love for us. Mm. It's a love for his creation. It's a love for the world. But then it moves him to be generous. And what is the most generous thing that God could do? He gives of himself. As a father, he gives his son, but it's God himself who comes near to us. And then to what? To offer himself. Mm. I love 1 John chapter 4 to be read right alongside of John 3:16. But in 1 John chapter 4, in verses 10 and 11, it says, this is real love. Mm. And it doesn't start with us loving God. It starts with God loving us.
Yes.
And because he loved us so much, he sent his son as that atoning sacrifice to take away our sins. And then the very next verse is, John just kind of like, oh, it's almost like this light bulb goes off. Like, if God loved us that much, then maybe we should love others in that same way.
Yeah, that calling to respond to that love. And it's not, again, like you said, not because we have to, but because of what God did for us, we get to respond.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was really thinking about this concept and topic and really just trying to wrap my brain around just what has God really done for me? What does his love look like? It drew me back to when Sarah and I got married. We had selected a part of scripture in Ephesians where it talks about the love of God. And it very clearly talks about how wide and deep and high and long is the love of God, really through Christ and what he did in our lives. And when you really try to think about just how much he's done, really, it's really hard to wrap your head around. And yet, that is our motivation. When we have that chance to really recognize like what has happened for us, there's just that wonderful opportunity to respond in a variety of different ways in terms of how we give.
Yeah. And so this is, you know, as I mentioned, I love discipleship. And so for me, generosity and even the finance side of things too, but it's part of being a disciple. Hmm. Like it's, and you talk about marriage, like, two becoming one, it's meant to be in every area of life. So it's the physical, it's the emotional. Mm. When I meet with couples getting ready to get married, we talk about this. It's the spiritual, but it's also the financial too. It's all connected to the heart. And so just like John says, we love because God first loved us. We forgive because he first forgave us. Mm. I think we can also say we are generous because God is first generous
for sure. I agree with that 100%. And when you think about God showing up in our lives, like where he's present in our lives or the things that he's done for us, what do you think impacts our ability to see God actually at work in our lives? Like what should we be looking for? What does that look like as we try to acknowledge how much he's really loved us?
One of the passages that comes to mind, and I have this verse, I've had it in a couple different places so I can keep it in front of me, but Psalm 46, where it invites us to see God as our refuge and our strength and an ever-present help in our lives. And then within this psalm, if you read it, there's a lot of noise. And this is what I think of when I think of the world today. There's a lot of noise in our world, a lot of things that are making it difficult for us to hear God's word, to recognize God's word. But then in verse 10 of Psalm 46, God interjects and he says, be still and know that I am God. And so I know in my own life, I've had to find the times to just slow down, to stop, to be still, and to really start to process and think about and remember and give thanks for where God has been present and at work in my life. I know for some of us, we can sometimes live in the past. That's really never been a problem for me. My problem has been I'm always too far out in the future.
Right.
And to the point of, and it's good to be thinking about the future and planning and dreaming and all those things, but not to the point of missing what's going on in the moment. Mm. So the last couple of years, I've really tried to slow down and be more present in the moment, in my marriage, in my family, just in life in general. And so I guess that's what I would encourage people to be doing, to find the space, the time to just be still. It's hard to be still today. It's hard to find those places of silence and to just let God and His voice be what's speaking into our life.
And it takes intentionality to do that. And if you don't build that into your rhythms, it gets filled with something else. And I think that's where Satan wins in today's world, is he gets us to try to literally fill our day with everything else so that we don't make time to actually stop and listen to God. And when, I know on a personal note for me, the times where I've had a chance to be in a place where it's truly silent and you can take those really deep breaths and you can truly exhale and let your mind really connect with what God's like working on in your heart and let Him speak, there's no better way to start your day than that in terms of feeling like you are available to respond to what He is tapping you on the shoulder to be and to do.
Yeah, I love that. And I think God built this into being a part of our rhythm for life from the very beginning. You know, 6 days God creates, and what's then seventh day He rests. And before He ever asks Adam and Eve to do anything, the first thing He invites them to do is to rest.
Wow, yes.
We always want to get to, especially in our culture, you know, we want to get to like, oh, we got to go, we got to do, we got all these things. And God's like, whoa. Yeah, those are good things, but you need to start with the rest. So I think He's built that into it. And then when I look at the Gospels and in the life of Jesus, He was busy. Like, He was on the move, He was doing, but Jesus was so intentional about pulling away at times too, to have those moments of solitude, to just be still, to kind of reset, begin to. And so I don't think there's anyone really better to learn from than Jesus. And we get to see His divinity, but we also get to see the humanity too.
So yeah, I suppose if Jesus needed to maybe break away and connect with God, maybe that's a pretty
good thing. Maybe we do too.
Exactly. So when you think about navigating life today, especially around this topic of money and finances and stewardship, and you think about making choices in that space, I can, maybe this is a twofold question. What at times do you feel like keeps us from making choices God would have for us? And then, you know, where do you think His examples are present to bring us back around and to make choices that reflect His generosity to us?
Yeah. I'll speak from just from a personal place. And if my wife Trudy were sitting here next to me, she would also testify to this. So neither one of us in our own home and family have wanted to be the one responsible for the finances. So we both, I think from the beginning, have wished that the other person would take the lead in that. And I wish that was, you know, finances was something in life we didn't have to worry about, but it is. Mm-hmm. And I've come to realize that. And so it's something that Shuri and I have come to realize, like, okay, we have to be able to talk about this. Mm-hmm. And for me to see it as something not absent from the things of God, but actually this is a part of living a life of a disciple. Mm-hmm. To be generous with the blessings that God has given to us, and finances is part of that. And so needing to be just okay with that and to acknowledge that. And so part of it is to give myself space to think and to pray and to see, okay, God, how can I honor You with this? And to think through then what Jesus teaches on that. There's a reason, like, and it's always surprising to me, but maybe it shouldn't be, that when you start to look at the things that Jesus talks to and the amount of time He spends, like, money's a big...
It's a big chunk.
It's a big chunk. And again, part of me is like, I wish that wasn't the way, but I think the reason it is because it's a big part of the life that we live. And so to realize, like, okay, how can I treat that like I do the other things in my life too? And going back to John 3:16, like, just realizing that, wait, God was first generous with me. And He's generous in a lot of ways. And one of the ways is the finances too. Yeah. And so how can I be God honoring in that? And I guess it comes from a place then of realizing, like, the money's it's not mine.
Right.
God's the owner. And I just get to steward that. And again, that goes back to creation too. And it's meant to be a part of the relationship, but then also the responsibility to that, and to be a good steward to that and use it for His glory and His good. And so it seems simple, and yet I think it's pretty profound to know, like, where does it all begin? And it needs to be from God, and it needs to be a heart issue.
Amen. You know, and when you really think about, you know, God as that ultimate provider, and we'll probably talk about this in a future episode, but when we consider that role of being a steward, the analogy I use is, you know, to be a real steward, it's almost like, it's like you're managing someone's home and they've given you full blessing to take care of the things that they need, that need to be taken care of. But boy, if it's time to put in a new driveway and it's going to cost you $50,000 to put in that new driveway or whatever the number ends up being, I'm going to guess you're probably going to go talk to the owner of the home and say, this is really going to be the best choice, but I want to make sure I'm checking in with you on this. And really, that's the relationship we have the opportunity to have with God, is he's provided us. He's given us carte blanche to do whatever we want to do with what he's given us. But I think it's good to go back and talk to the owner every once in a while and check in with him and make sure, like, is my heart aligned? Am I listening? Or is this something I just want for myself?
Yeah. So I'm glad you bring that up, because that's what I was trying to touch on earlier. So I realized that Trudy and I, like, we realized we need to talk about it. As parents, we've tried to do a better job of talking about it with our kids, right? To teach them, to disciple them. But we should be talking to God in the midst of that too, and to invite him into that process. Yeah. There are just certain things in our life, I think sometimes we just kind of set aside as if it's, you know, it's not a part of our relationship with God. And I think money, sometimes our finances, it kind of gets lumped over there.
Right. And we have to get into that space with, once you acknowledge it's not mine, in some ways there should be almost more of a feeling of responsibility for caring for it. And another thing that I often think about is just in today's culture and the pace of the world today, but our priorities as people, you know, sometimes we really dig into the next vacation we're going to go on. And so we spend this time planning and we're super excited. And, you know, we dig into the details and we talk and we figure it out because we want it to be the best vacation ever. Or if we're pretty good at our budgeting process and pretty refined, and, you know, we'll maybe dig in pretty regularly with retirement goals and making sure we're staying on target for our retirement goals and things like that. But oftentimes for families, the thing that doesn't get talked about is the fact that this is God's. What is he asking of me in terms of returning a portion of that to him? And then are we spending that kind of time that we do on some of these other topics? Are we spending that kind of intentionality praying about it, talking about it, and then setting a plan in place, and then checking in on the plan, and then you know, realigning if we feel like the plan's off or it isn't working correctly, and those kinds of things. But oftentimes, what we find in the church is people sometimes are motivated to give out of obligation, as opposed to, this is an I get to, and I'm excited about making the choices because I see how God is at work through that.
Yeah. And so whether it's spending time in God's word or how we treat our finances, I try to simplify things. So you talked about before being a pastor, I was a teacher and I did teach kindergarten. I always ask people, what grade do you think I taught? And rarely does kindergarten get mentioned.
It'd be a tough first guess.
But I loved it. And so part of it is, I always joke about kindergarten at that time, it's a little different now, but it was all about playtime, snack time, and nap time. I'm like, life doesn't get better than those three things. But my point being, I'm a person who tries to simplify things. And I believe Jesus came not to complicate life. He came to simplify life and to simplify our relationship with him and with our Father. And so to that point, then, when I think about what it means to live these things, one of the simple ways to think about it is, this isn't something I have to do. This is something I get to do. And when we're able to get to that place, it's such a game changer then. And I think what is really starting to take root then is the gospel and God's gift of grace is becoming the motivator for things in our life now. Amen.
And I think too often the history of the church was that they were trying to motivate through the law. Like, this is a rule you have to follow. Why aren't you doing it? Shame on you if you're not. And to what you just said, God wants us to get into this space where it's like, I'm so excited about this, you know, and there's an opportunity to impact not only the people I know, maybe in my own faith family, but people around the world with the gifts that I make.
This is probably a whole nother podcast in and of itself too. So I don't want to take us too far down this path, but what I was just thinking about is, I think a lot of times we attach guilt and shame, even to the finances of it, or maybe that's just how it makes us
right.
feel because of how we've dealt with it or thought about it or treated about it. But that, like every other part of our life, Jesus wants to bring us freedom from those things and to see this doesn't have to be a bad thing. Yep. Like this can be a good thing.
100%.
But it starts with knowing that where does it come from? And it comes from God.
Yeah. And I think to your point, a lot of times we find our space into a negative context with money and finances. Sometimes it has to do with a history that we have with money or a tough time we went through or our hearts weren't really aligned with God yet. So when we were thinking about giving, it felt pressured and it wasn't in that sense of peace. And so then that's where I think people can have these really natural barriers to step into a space where it's a thing of joy as opposed to a thing of maybe frustration or concern or whatever emotion you want to tie to it in terms of feeling like it's not something that I get to do, but I feel like I have to do it and I'm not having fun with it.
Yep.
So as we kind of start winding down the show for today, when you think we've talked about prayer and the role that prayer plays in our life, I don't think it's an either or, maybe it's a both and, but when you think about prayer, how is our prayer life impacted? How does it impact us seeing God at work? Or is it the other way around? When we see God at work, should that impact our prayer life? Like how does prayer and being open in that relationship and conversation with God help us see him more?
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good question. I guess initially I feel like it's a both and in that sense. So prayer is one of those things too. I think sometimes we overcomplicate in our lives. We lose sometimes, I think, the simplicity of that in this sense of like God is just inviting us as children to come and talk to our loving Father. And not just talk about the things that are good, but talk about the things that are scaring us and when we're having anxiety about and the struggles to that too. And to make that a part of that rhythm of life. But then I think part of going back to Psalm 46, when God says, be still, that should invite us into a posture of one, hearing from God, so listening to him through his word. But then that should also invite us into a place of being able to talk with God and enter into that conversation. And so I think prayer then can work both ways. So as God is transforming hearts and lives, it's also changing then how we view the world and the things of the world. And it's changing our posture and our attitude of how we, so and included in that is also changing how we pray then as well too. And so being able to see God at work, acknowledge that, to remember that, to give thanks for that, and then allowing that to shape, going back to being in the moment. Now I can fear, love, and trust God in the moment because I know what God has done in the past. But I should be thanking him. I guess that's the theme I keep coming back to, right? Yeah. Thanking him to allow me then to follow by faith as I move into the future in all areas of life. Yeah. And finances is a part of that too.
Yeah, for sure. You maybe read the same devotion in the last week, but it really talked about the fact that the reality is the person we have the most conversation with as we go through every day is ourselves.
Me, myself, and I.
We're not always saying it out loud, but we have a constant narrative in our mind as we go through our day. And as you were speaking, it made me really think about the fact that, you know, where our heart is and kind of where our interests are, or kind of where our focus is, that then drives how we see the world. And when we are remaining in that posture with God and asking him to like show us and let us see, then we choose to see. Like he works in us to see those things as opposed to if we're not inviting that and trying, we get distracted by all the things of this world, we're not going to choose to see things the same way. And the example that comes to mind for me is, and a lot of people have this kind of example in their life, but you know, when Sarah and I made the prayerful decision for a change in my role to come to Messiah, it meant a change to our budget. You know, we had to make some adjustments. It was not a lateral move financially for us, and we still have two kids in college. So I've through this transition now that's run out almost 9 months, I'm really starting to, as I got into that transition, I just intentionally said, God, I want to see you work through this. Because I've always recognized it's not about me. I know that the choices I make sometimes are dumb ones, and he figures out how to fix them. But ultimately, it's when you choose to look for God's hand in it, you'll see it every time. And an example just happened this week where I'd taken my taxes in to get done last week, and you know, wasn't sure, a little trepidation about that. You know, have we set enough aside? Those kinds of things. And as it turns out, we got a fairly healthy return. Probably in part to do with the fact that I didn't make quite as much at the end of last year. And, you know, that immediate, my immediate thought, I just paused and I prayed. And it was a prayer of thanks initially. And then it was a prayer of, okay, Lord, over the coming weeks, help me understand what you want me to do with that. Because those were dollars that in my mind, in some ways were already spent. And now there's a resource there that can be used, you know, maybe by our family in part. I do have a wedding coming up, by the way. But also in part, like, how can we be a blessing through what he has now almost a second time returned to us? And so I think about how sometimes that's a challenge in this world, because some people are like, well, even commercials on TV, hey, it's tax season, come buy your new car.
Right.
You know, so we've spent the dollars before we even see them. And that's kind of, if you're in a space where you're really asking God, how would you have me use this? Mm-hmm. That's much different than I've already spent it. I've already made those choices and I don't really need to listen to God.
Right. So true. So what I hear kind of behind everything you're sharing too is, and this deals with the heart, but it's really about relationship. That's from the very beginning, this is what God has wanted to have with us, a relationship. And responsibility is a part of that relationship, but it starts with God's like, I'm your Heavenly Father. I love you as my children, and I do want to bless you, but I also want to teach you then what it means to live in this relationship with me and with others too, and where we are meant to have the character of God. We're made to, and this is what Jesus does for us, to bring us back into that image of God, so that as we live our life, the decisions that we make, it's reflective of our Heavenly Father,
amen,
too. And that's meant to be true of every area of life. And so I think really at the heart of a lot of what we're talking about today, and if for people to, like, where do we even start in all this? It's starting with, like, what's my relationship like with God? Mm-hmm. And getting back to that place of knowing, like, he loves me. Because before we can even have a love for God, that passage I shared from 1 John chapter 4, it doesn't start with us loving God.
Nope.
It starts with God loving us.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, as we wind down the show today, we always want to kind of end the show with a, you know, a start living challenge. The whole idea of this is stop chasing the world, start living the way God wants you to. So as you think about kind of that idea of encouraging our listeners to really step into the space of living, truly living, is there anything maybe you would have them kind of think about, ponder, pray about as we close out the show today?
Yeah, the thing that comes to mind, I guess, is so you think about stop chasing. If you're chasing, right, you're moving. So I feel like we need to just, it's that posture of just being still again. And so I mentioned Psalm 46. There's another one that comes up too in Exodus chapter 14. So God is calling his people out of slavery in Egypt, and he's leading them to the promised land. But they're in this place of being caught between the Red Sea and Pharaoh and his army. And this is, you know, to put it into terms of for our own lives, kind of when we feel like the world is just kind of like closing in.
Where do I go?
And I think we all know that feeling, and I think sometimes finances, the stresses of that can create that. And what God says is, all you have to do is stand here and be still, and I'm going to fight for you. And so I guess that is my invitation, is for us to create that space, to find that space where we can just rest in God, rest in the presence of that relationship, to be still, to know that God is God, he's in control, and then to lead us to that place of just thinking about, God, what is the good that you've done? What have you given to me? And just start thanking God for that. And allow that then through the work of the Holy Spirit, through Christ alive in us, to just change our hearts. Then
yeah, you can have all that stress in the world, but if you really start going on the list of the ways God has blessed you, it's like I would say it was almost like rain washing off a dirty vehicle. You know, it's just going to keep coming.
Yeah.
It's going to keep washing it away.
And God's grace running. Washing over
it
us.
It always wins.
Yep.
It always wins.
I love that imagery.
Well, Dustin, I really appreciate the time today. It's been a blessing to get to hear about, you know, your perspective on God's heart for us, that idea of relationship and that living challenge, that start living challenge of finding that space, that stillness in that relationship with God to allow him to speak, to show us where he shows up, and then eventually start working on us to start living in a response because we get to.
So stop chasing the things of the world. Start living into God's presence, God's grace, the relationship that he's inviting us into.
So. Perfect. Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Dustin.
Thanks for having me.
So. All right. For those of you listening, we just encourage you to come back and join us for the next episode. But until then, start living.
Thank you for tuning in to Stop Chasing, Start Living. This has been a production of Messiah Lutheran Ministries. Make sure you subscribe to Messiah Lutheran on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen so you never miss an episode. Want to learn more about Messiah Ministries? Visit us at messiah.us. Our goal is to be a resource to you as you grow in your relationship with Christ and in your generosity. If you would like to connect with Scott, please send an email to scott.ernstmeyer@messiah.us. Thanks again for listening. Now let's start living.